This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by this show. We always appreciate you coming by. Today, we're going to be talking about an interesting topic, prison reentry. You know, we've got a number of different prisoners who are out there from certain statistics. About 2 million different prisoners are almost held in our jail systems around the country, whether it be federal prisons. I don't know, maybe state prisons, local prisons. The number may even be more than that. But at least 2 million people are in prisons right now. And when they get out of prison, what is the dynamic? Can they reenter society? Can they go to work? I mean, can they get federal jobs? You know, those are all questions that many people have. And at some point in time, given the volume of people, we may all know somebody who spent some time in prison or a jail system or something like that. And so today we thought we'd talk about this process, about the national reentry. There's a program called the National Reentry Resource Center. It's run from the Justice Center, from the Council of State Governors, and but I have Leah Kane. She's the Deputy Project Director for Reentry from the Council of State Government from the Justice Center. Leah, welcome to Fed Access.
Thank you.
You know, this program, and I found it to be really, really interesting, the National Reentry Resource Center, mm-hmm. and also your program, this Justice Center and everything else. Talk to us about this project.
Sure. Well, the Council of State Governments Justice Center is the Justice Center is a project of the Council of State Governments, which is a national nonprofit organization that works with leaders from the legislative, executive, and judicial branches in state governments around the country. The Justice Center is a corner of CSG that focuses specifically on criminal justice and juvenile justice issues. We work on a number of different issues that state and local governments face, such as the prevalence of individuals with mental illness in the criminal justice system. We work with a number of states on justice reinvestment projects, but we also have been working on reentry for about 10 years now. Back in 2005, we released the report of the Reentry Policy Council, which is sort of like the phone book of reentry. It provided mm-hmm. a whole bunch of policy statements that can guide state and local policymakers mm-hmm. in developing reentry programs at the local level that can improve services to this population. In 2009, following the passage of the Second Chance Act, which really infused a lot of federal money into reentry programs at the state and local level, one of the things the Second Chance Act did was authorize the creation of a National Reentry Resource Center,
okay.
which it was intended to be a resource center for anyone working in the field of reentry, mm-hmm. state and local corrections agencies, probation and parole agencies, countless nonprofit providers mm-hmm. out there that are working with mm-hmm. this population, as well as individuals returning home and their families. And our purpose is really to advance the reentry field, to make sure that all of the latest research that we have about what works in reentry, mm-hmm. what can help people come back into the community and reduce recidivism, reduce the likelihood that they'll end up back in the criminal justice system,
right.
to make sure that that gets out to the people on the ground level who are running these programs.
Let me talk about the Second Chance Act and what were the dynamics of that. In 2008, this Second Chance Act came about. Mm-hmm. What was the reasons, and then what was part of the legislation that really had an impact? I mean, of course, there's National Resource Center, which is great, but what else did it say, and how did it impact people who were getting out of jail?
Sure. Well, the interesting thing is, going back to the early 2000s, if you had Googled reentry, you wouldn't have found any information on mm-hmm. prisoners coming back.
Yeah.
You would have found information on vehicles from NASA coming back into the atmosphere outer space.
Yeah, yeah.
So the idea of reentry really came into being in the 2000s,
okay.
Under the Bush administration. And there was a lot of federal leadership, a number of
was
programs.
Was that because of the number of people who were coming
it
out.
Really was. Yeah.
It couldn't find jobs or anything?
It started very late in the Clinton administration. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of criminal justice policy changes happening in the 90s.
Okay.
And towards the end of the Clinton administration, it was actually Janet Reno when she was attorney general and Jeremy Travis when he was the director of the National Institute of Justice. Started to take a look at the number of people coming back, and really, Jeremy Travis was the person who coined the term prisoner reentry.
Okay.
And that was when the federal agencies started to put a lot of attention and a lot of funding into looking into the issue of how many people were coming back. At the time, I think that the estimate was somewhere around 500,000 people were coming back every year from state prisons and federal prisons. Now we're somewhere around 700,000 people a year that come back. Again, just from prisons. It doesn't count millions of people who come back from county jails every year. So that really, that started the ball rolling in the 2000s. And many federal agencies developed grant programs that were focused on this population. It was really motivated. It was partly motivated by an interest in the number of people who were coming back. It was also motivated by the incredible fiscal challenges that the correctional budget poses to state and local government agencies. Between the mid-1980s and the mid-2000s, spending on corrections was one of the fastest growing budget line items for most states around the country.
Right.
It reached a high a couple of years ago around $68 billion, which doesn't make it the largest item in any state budget, but it was growing very quickly, and state government leaders started to pay attention to the fact that it was growing as quickly as it was.
Sure.
And that really motivated a lot of the interest in getting these programs growing on the ground level. Some of the states really took the lead. Michigan was one of the states that really very early on developed programs to address this. And the federal agencies started to develop programs to support what was happening at the state and local level. The Second Chance Act there were a lot of federal initiatives that predated the Second Chance Act, but the Second Chance Act was the first piece of legislation passed by Congress that specifically identified reentry as a problem and dedicated federal resources to it. And that happened. That was passed in April of 2008 and signed into law by President Bush. The first Second Chance Act grantees were announced in 2009. Mm-hmm. So we're now looking at 4 years of Second Chance Act grantees that have received a total of about $250 million from the federal government. And that's going primarily to state and local government agencies that are working with this population, as well as countless nonprofit and community-based partners, organizations that are providing mentoring services, organizations providing case management, substance abuse and mental health treatment. So there are quite a few grantees out there, and it's really sort of propelled the reentry movement forward.
So really, with both Second Chance Acts, you now have a whole system, not just kind of government-based, but nonprofit and NGOs and ministries and their faith-based organizations who are now supporting the dynamic of reentry.
Absolutely.
And now, so when a prisoner gets out, are they given these resources right away to say, hey, listen, you know, there's a list of places you can go to?
That's the goal.
Okay.
And that's where agencies are really heading. It's a tremendous undertaking. We've got, as I said, 688,000 people, I think, came out of prisons, state and federal prisons last year. The estimate is somewhere around 7 million separate individuals who come out of jails every year. And that includes everyone from people who are booked in for the weekend, who come out at the end of the weekend and may not need a whole lot of support or help, to folks who may have spent a year. In some states, they might spend 2 or 3 years in local jails and then come back home. And so we really work with agencies to try to identify the individuals that are most in need of services.
And hold that real quick, Leah, because we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about these programs. I want to talk about the prisoner. When somebody gets out of jail or prison or whatever the case is, you know, let's kind of get past the myths. You know, what can they access? What kind of jobs can they get? You know, can they work for certain places, this, that, and the other? I think we need to address those things as we come back. We're talking to Leah Kane. She's Deputy Project Director for Reentry for the Council of State Government. I keep on saying governors. I was watching the National Governors Association. I guess in my head. The Council for State Government, their Justice Center, they run a program called the National Reentry Resource Center. And you can find that at nationalreentryresourcecenter.org, a great website with a lot of interesting facts and tools and resources that if you do know someone who has come out of prison or you are a person who's maybe had that experience, it may be a good resource for you or you're running a program. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking about a really interesting topic today, but one that really impacts all of us, prisoner reentry. Number of prisoners in the federal system and state local jails may be about 2 million or more that are out there, but it's a number of people who may go to jail for a number of reasons throughout the year. And when they reenter into society, what programs are out there to help them and what programs are out there to help prevent them going back into jail? We're talking to Leah Kane. She is the Deputy Project Director for Reentry for the Council of State Government at the Justice Center. They run a program called the National Reentry Resource Center, and you can find their website at nationalreentryresourcecenter.org. Leah, we were talking about the dynamic of these programs that have been funded by the Second Chance Act that came out 2000. I guess there's been two versions of them.
There have been 4 years of grantees since the bill was passed in 2008.
And with all of that, you know, when we look at people who have spent some time in jail or prison or things like that, and maybe more a person who's had to spend a little more time in there, it may affect them more than maybe a person had to do a weekend. Mm-hmm. But what's the truth about it? I mean, if you do go to jail, you spend some prison time. Is it a felony, a misdemeanor? I mean, where are we at in terms of reentry?
Okay. Well, there are two sort of key things that are sort of the cornerstones of reentry programs. And one is knowing the individuals really well who are coming back and knowing what their risk factors are, knowing what the likelihood is that they're going to come back in. One of the ways that the criminal justice system has really advanced over the past 20 years is in the use of assessment tools that are actuarial-based tools that they can use to figure out, based on someone's background, their experiences, and their beliefs and perspectives on the world, what is the likelihood that they're going to come back into prison. What we know about those assessment tools is that they do a pretty decent job of telling us who's most likely to come back in. What we also know from research is that the folks who are most likely to come back in are the folks that you're most likely to impact by providing them with the services and the interventions that can address those challenges that they face. Right. So what that has enabled correctional agencies to do is really target their resources and their programming on those folks who are most likely to come back.
And for a person who's, what is the data showing us? You know, what in terms of, and I do want to kind of talk about the prisoners and what they can do, but what is that data showing us about who, if a person does go? And is the data even analyzing who is more likely to go to prison rather than even, you know, just before even reentering and then going back? Is that data also looking at that as well?
There's an increasing emphasis. It sort of is. There's increasing emphasis on the front end of the system. Okay. And so the assessment tools were really developed to go into the hands of corrections agencies, probation and parole agencies, to help them determine, based on what people have done so far, what their sort of future might look like.
What's the data looking like?
And again, it's all, no tool will tell you
everything.
If an individual will come back. It'll give you a likelihood that an individual might.
Maybe a profile.
Right.
Not saying profiling, but gives you a idea of dynamics. This person has this.
What the odds are, basically.
What's the data showing us, though?
It varies quite a bit, you know, and every population is different. Jail populations are different from state and local, state and federal prison populations. Within most systems, there are about 20 to 30% of the population that are a truly sort of high risk population or a higher risk population. Those are the folks who are much more likely to come back.
Okay.
Those are also the folks where if you target your services and interventions to them and really focus on the services and interventions that the specific individual needs.
Okay.
You are more likely to reduce their recidivism.
Are those people who, as we look at them, those people who are high drug users, those people who come out of certain populations, or certain? I mean, what is that?
There
look
are
at?
Four big factors that researchers have found really predict whether or not someone is going to recidivate and come back into the system. Substance abuse is one of them. Mm-hmm. The other three are related to attitudes and beliefs, sort of the perspective that an individual has about the world.
Okay.
One of the consultants that we work with tells a story that, you know, there are a lot of folks these days that are out of work. Mm-hmm. Not everyone who's out of work is committing a crime to help them get through the fact that they're out of work.
Sure.
And so what you need to do is you need to look at what people's internal motivations are, what their beliefs about the world are, and the way that the assessment tools phrase it is antisocial personalities. You look at antisocial peers, the support system that an individual has when they go back into the community. Wow. To try to figure out if they have folks who are sort of steering them in the right direction or folks that are sort of steering them in the wrong direction. Right. And we've got tools that can take all of that information, boil it down, and give you a sense of whether or not someone is at a particularly high risk of coming back in or at a lower risk.
Okay.
It'll also tell you what the individual risk factors are for a particular individual, right? So all of those assessment tools will tell you, you know, Leah Kane is coming back into the system. She's had a history of substance use. She also
Leah Kane hasn't been in the system. Right. Let's just make that clear.
But she's had a history of mental illness.
Sure.
She has two dependent children back in the community. She's experienced some domestic violence. And then based on what you've learned about an individual through those tools, you can help steer them into the right programs to address those challenges that
they have. So we've got drug use. We've got maybe kind of an antisocial behavior or
peers,
certain attitudes. Okay,
peers. And antisocial beliefs.
Okay. What else? And you mentioned about two other factors.
Those are the big four and the little four, but it's sort of a long list of factors that can impact particular individuals. Mental illness is a big issue. Mental illness may not be the reason that someone comes back into the criminal justice system, but the failure to receive mental health treatment in the community can lead to people decompensating in ways that will result in behavior that gets them back into the criminal justice system. But we really, you know, one of the things that you hear criminal justice practitioners talking a lot about these days are cognitive behavioral interventions, which are really intended to focus on those antisocial belief systems, antisocial perspectives, and really help people sort of think about the world in a different way and think about their own behavior in a different way.
Right.
And that is one of the big components of a lot of Second Chance Act programs that have really proven to be successful.
To really address the antisocial behavior and get them in a program to say, listen, I appreciate what the government does. I want to be a part of society.
Right. What they do, there are a lot of different programs with a lot of different sort of perspectives. There are programs that focus specifically on individuals who have experienced a lot of trauma, for example.
Gotcha.
There are programs that focus specifically on individuals who have a lengthy background of mental health or substance abuse. But there are some commonalities. And generally speaking, what they do is get folks to take a look sort of inside and look at the way that they're seeing the world and try to challenge some of those beliefs that they might have been carrying around for 10 or 20 years.
Right there. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to get back to that prisoner thing about the myths and talk about the facts for those who have spent some time in a jail system or a prison. And, you know, what are the facts about, you know, what can you do to reenter society and be a part of productive part of society? And I think this is what we're talking about today. We're talking to Leah Kane. She's the Deputy Project Director for Reentry at the Council of State Government, the Justice Center. They have a website called, and it's called a resource center, called the National Reentry Resource Center. You can find the website at nationalreentryresourcecenter.org. We'll be right back talking about prisoner reentry and what is the facts about prisoner reentry and how people can make a productive life after spending some time in jail or prison. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we are talking about prisoner reentry and talking about the National Reentry Resource Center from the Justice Center of the Council of State Governments. I've been saying government, and I just was corrected that it is governments, not government. And it's the Council of State Governments. And you can find their website at csg.org, which is the Council for State Governments. And then you can also find the National Reentry Resource Center website at nationalreentryresourcecenter.org. But we're talking about this prisoner reentry dynamic, and we have in studio Leah Kane. She's the Deputy Project Director for Reentry for the Council of State Governments at their Justice Center. Leah, the facts. For a person who, unfortunately, for whatever reason, committed a crime and they spent some time in jail, or prison or whatever. When they get out, what are the facts in terms of employment? What are the facts in terms of voting? What are the facts in terms of you being a part of American society again?
Hopefully, if you're coming out of a prison or jail, you're walking out of the doors with a reentry plan.
Okay.
It doesn't happen for everyone.
Okay.
Because it's expensive, and that's one of the reasons why we've got the Second Chance Act funding a lot of these programs.
Are governments putting that more in place now?
They are.
They are.
And they're starting to really target, starting by focusing on those high-risk individuals that we were just talking about. But we're pushing agencies to develop reentry plans for everyone who's coming back after a lengthy period of incarceration. So hopefully you're coming out of prison or jail with a reentry plan that identifies both an individual who will be your day-to-day contact. You might be coming out on parole if you're coming out of prison. You might be coming out on probation, which is less likely, or some other form of post-release supervision, which means you've got someone you've got to check in with on a regular basis. You may also have a case manager. Hopefully you also have a case manager who is someone who comes, often they come from more of a social work background, and their role is not necessarily to monitor you on a day-to-day basis, ensure your compliance with the laws of the state and the county that you're in, but really to make sure that you are connected to the resources you need that will be most helpful in keeping you back in the community and on a productive path. That reentry plan that you have, that you hopefully have, should outline the specific services that have been identified that will be helpful to you, the places that you're going to go to get those services. We work with a lot of grantees that are developing one-stop centers, which is an idea that really comes out of sort of the workforce development agencies.
Department of Labor and everybody else.
And the goal is really to, you know, if you can get case managers in the same place as your service providers who are providing reentry services, to try to make it easier for folks so that they don't have to
go around.
Got a job, you don't have to take time off of work to go to three or four different appointments. You don't have to take the bus to get to lots of different places. You go to one place. Maybe you meet your parole officer there, you meet your case manager there, and you also meet the folks who are going to connect you to services back in the community there. It doesn't exist everywhere. That's one of the things that is really increasing at the state and local level, but it doesn't exist everywhere yet.
Okay.
For those folks who come back out who may not have a reentry plan, they may not be on supervision, they may not have a case manager. Every community in the country, but particularly the large cities around the country and the large counties, have existing reentry programs. There are reentry programs just everywhere around the country, especially in urban and suburban areas. We try to capture that information as best as we can on our website. So our website is one place you can go just to see if there's a reentry coordinator in your area. That might be someone who works for the State Department of Corrections or for your local county or city government. And they are responsible for coordinating all of the reentry services in a particular geographic area. We also might have information on our website about reentry service guides. There are a lot of many of these big cities or big counties that have a large reentering population, which is most of our big cities around the country, have spent time putting together little directories that help people identify service providers that can help them with different issues. We've got a compilation of as many of those as we can find, we add to our website. So we might be able to find some of those on our website. We also have a database of some of the local service providers around the country.
Okay.
And we also link to three or four other national sources of that information.
Okay.
The bottom line is there are tens of thousands of reentry services providers out there. And so, unfortunately, I don't think there will ever be one place where you can go where you'll be able to identify all the services that are available in a particular county or a particular city. But we're trying to do that for all of the major urban areas. We're also trying to link to databases. For example, SAMHSA, which is Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, has an online database that links people to substance abuse treatment providers in every community.
Okay.
And so there are lots of other databases out there that we link
to. Send things, people to and everything else.
Right.
And I think you just hit on one important point. So if you're a person coming out or getting ready to come out, one big piece of it is that you should be thinking of a reentry plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while you're in jail, is there somebody who's going to talk to you about, or maybe somebody needs to tell somebody, a family member, say, listen, do you have a reentry plan?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds like the system is not completely there where everybody's going to go through this step.
It's not completely there, but it's getting better.
It's getting there.
And that's one of the things that Second Chance is really encouraging people to do.
Okay. Now, with this and with the reentry programs, are these programs designed where you have a reentry counselor, and then is that person going to help you get a job? Is that person going to now say, listen, these are all, now that you're back in society, these are all the things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how does this work?
It varies from program to program and from individual to individual.
Okay.
And this is sort of what we were talking about earlier. There are some individuals who will come out of prison or jail. Maybe they haven't been in as long, and they've got a fair amount of, of support back in the community. They've got family members. They've got friends who might be able to help connect them to jobs. They don't need as much support as other folks do. And that's what the various assessment tools that agencies are using can help them determine, sort of what the level of service is that a particular individual needs. For folks who need a more intensive level of services, there are, within all of these different service areas, there are employment programs that are much more intensive. There programs that folks might recognize known as transitional job programs, where you go and go through an employment program with an agency that helps you with job retention, job advancement skills, developing soft skills, everything from writing your resume or filling out a job application to how you keep and advance in a job once you have it. But then they also support individuals and provide sort of subsidized employment as they start working back in the community. So some of those agencies will work with either other nonprofit organizations, city agencies, or other partners out there and actually place people in jobs, provide support to them over the first 3 to 6 months that they're in those positions, with the goal of transitioning them out of the jobs program and into being just a regular full-time employee of the organization. Those are more intensive programs. They're not available for everyone. Okay. They're fairly expensive programs to run. But we really are, it's part of the sort of umbrella of services that should be available in the reentry process.
Hold that thought right there, Leah. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to keep on talking about where we're going, because I think this is important about getting opportunities, you know, to these people who, because that's the really the key for them not going back to jail, is giving them opportunities to be productive members of society again. I want to talk about this and much more. We're talking to Leah Kane. She's Deputy Project Director for Reentry at the Council of State Governments at the Justice Center there. They run a program called the National Reentry Resource Center that was kind of funded through the Second Act that passed in 2008. This program is out there to provide resources and help those who are in the system, who have been prisoners, but also those who are providing services, whether it be community and faith-based organizations, state, local agencies, provide them resources to help people reentry effective, have prisoner reentry effective and become part of productive members of society again. This is the Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch from Federal News Radio. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we're having an interesting conversation about National Reentry Resource Center. And when I talk about reentry, we're not talking about space reentry. We're talking about prisoner reentry. We're talking about what happens after a person spends some time in a state or federal prison and then they have to come back into society. How do they do that effectively? We're talking to Leah Kane. She's a Deputy Project Director for Reentry at the Council of State Governments, their Justice Center, who runs this project right here. And she's been giving us some real insight on their programs. Leah, we were talking about these reentry one-stop scenarios, about kind of people are changing the dynamics. And we've cut, I think the budgets and everything else are starting to have people think about how do we consolidate, how do we use these resources effectively, but still help people. With this right here, you know, we talk about jobs and prison and people have spent time in prison and everything else. Is it still the case that employers are very apprehensive, or even with the resource center, are you trying to educate employers to kind of say, listen, just because they spend time in jail or prison doesn't mean that you can't. Is that still something? And even apartments, you know, when people try to get an apartment and rent something, you know, if it comes up with that criminal check, okay, you spent time in jail, whatever the case is, denied.
Yeah.
Is there a process in terms of what you guys are doing trying to say, listen, we need to re-educate and help get past this?
Yeah. And that's a goal for both us as well as many of the federal agencies. This is one of the things that the Federal Interagency Reentry Council is really working on and has really taken on in the first 2 years that they've been working. The Federal Interagency Reentry Council brings together 18 agencies across the federal government that touch on the issue of reentry. And they've been meeting under Attorney General Holder's leadership since January 2011. One of the first goals that they decided on was identifying federal policy opportunities and barriers and myths, the myths about what the law says about people who are coming back from prison and jail was one of the first challenges they tackled. And so if you go to our website, we actually have I think we've got 24 now MythBusters that the federal agencies put together that talk about exactly those issues. They talk about things like whether or not people who are who have criminal records are barred from accessing federal benefits like Medicaid and SNAP and other programs like that. They talk about access to federal housing and whether or not public housing is limited to people who have convictions. They talk about employer incentives, like the tax incentives that are available through the Department of Labor. Now, those are all focused on sort of federal barriers, but there's a lot of helpful information in there that individuals might find helpful or that other agencies that are working to advance these issues on a local level might find helpful. The next step after the MythBusters is they're taking some action, working with state and local partners to try to reduce those barriers. And so, for example, there was one of the areas that they identified was sort of widespread confusion about or misunderstanding about how what federal law said about individuals accessing public housing. So there's a MythBuster that makes clear that there's quite a bit of local discretion when it comes to public housing authorities and whether or not there are only two relatively narrow categories of individuals who are permanently statutorily barred from living in public housing. Those are folks who have convictions for, I think, methamphetamine manufacturing and one other category that I'm forgetting at the moment. So they've got a MythBuster that makes that clear. They also then, the Secretary of the Department of Housing and Urban Development sent a letter to all of the public housing agencies around the country making clear to them that that the federal law is fairly permissive in this case, that the laws are more permissive than people generally believe, and encouraging those public housing agencies to really sort of embrace the reentry challenge and be more open and accepting to people with criminal records who have demonstrated that they have experienced some rehabilitation, that they are productive members of the community. And those that letter that went back to the PHAs is available on our website. It's something that any agency out there, if you're struggling to communicate to your local public housing authority,
maybe a resource,
then you can download this and hand this to them. Sure. Some of them haven't seen it. Some of them might have forgotten. But you can use it as a tool. And that's one of the things that the federal agencies are really trying to do is give people tools that they can use at the local level to reduce these barriers, especially when they come from misconceptions about federal barriers.
And with employers, now what's going on with that side?
So there is just about everyone in federal agencies, in state and local agencies, are working to sort of educate employers on how people coming back from prisons and jails can really be outstanding employees. And on a on an almost a weekly basis, we get news back from the nearly 500 grantees that we work with about around the country. A lot of the work has to be done. You know, it's a relationship building process. You have to go out into the community, meet with employers, talk to them about their programs.
Build their trust. You got to build their trust,
Employer incentives, like the tax incentives that are available from the Department of Labor, help with that. Okay. But what we've heard from grantees is the thing that, that actually convinces a lot of employers is the fact that many of these folks are involved in reentry programs. So if you hire someone who's involved in a reentry program, you have a case manager that you can go to if you're having trouble with that person. So if they're not showing up on a regular basis, you're having trouble with their attitude or they're having trouble getting along with their coworkers, you have, with any reentry program, you'll have a case manager or you'll have someone that you can go to and you can say, you know, this isn't working out really well. They might be able to provide additional support to that individual to help them be a better employee to you. Or they might be able to help you find someone who's a better fit for you. And so there's a whole lot of support that comes along with people who are involved in reentry programs that isn't necessarily available for the person walking in off the street who's applying for a job. So it's a, you know, it's a slow and steady process. You have to build relationships one-on-one with employers, but there are some messages that folks are developing that have been successful in sort of bringing employers along and helping them see that this can be a really valuable part of their workforce.
And are you starting to see some employers who are champions on this process? I mean, who now have had a record of success and saying, listen, you know, we're going to continue to hire from this pool.
Yeah, there's a lot of small business owners. You build relationships. They hire one or two people, and they have a really great experience. And then the next year, they want to hire all of their folks from the program. It's not a big enough groundswell for people to be able to see it just because there are so many people who are out of work these days. And it is a sort of a slow and steady process, but it's absolutely picking up steam. And employers are starting to get the message. There are also there are U.S. attorneys around the country who've really taken up this as part of their mission. And so they'll go out and speak to business councils. They'll speak to chambers of commerce, and they'll tell them, you know, these folks are back in the community. They're part of the community. They're part of your clientele, and they could be a really valuable part of your workforce if you sort of opened your doors to them.
That's a powerful note to end. As always, never have enough time. I'm gonna have to have you come back at some point in time so we can talk, because we didn't really even get into the programs. I know, and you got a cold today too, but we need to get into some of the programs and some of the examples of the programs. So I'm gonna definitely have you back at some point in time this year as we begin to continue to monitor this thing. I think it's an important issue that we got to focus in on. Leah Kane, she's a deputy project director for reentry, and she has been gracious enough, even when having a cold, to be on the show today. She's from the Council of State Governments, and they have the Justice Center. They run the National Reentry Resource Center. You can find their website at nationalreentryresourcecenter.org. You can find the Council of State Governments at csg.org. A lot of great resources on both of these websites that we hope you can utilize. Thank you, Leah, for being on
the show.
Thank
you.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.